So we're going to get started. I want to introduce our founder that everyone's talked about tonight. John Featherston is an amazing man. God put this seed in his heart many, many, many years ago. And I was just thinking how many people out there, God placed a vision, placed a seed in their heart, and they just didn't take any action because, this is going to be too hard, or, oh, this is crazy, or, oh, this is whatever. And to know, I mean, this was way back when I was, just started using. I can't only imagine the perseverance it would have taken for you to start this thing. How many people maybe went to you and said, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Are you, all the things that you had to overcome, and just how much the Lord was with you, man. He had to have just been right there with you, just overwhelming you with his love through that. I mean, I've only been in ministry 3 years, and it is difficult. It is not easy. And to start a church and to just jump out there, it's just so admirable. And we just love you so much. John, get up here and tell us what it was like.
It's red.
It's on.
And then it's yellow.
How about now?
Yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Serenity Church. My name is John, and I am a very grateful overcomer.
Hey, John.
And people say,
amen.
People say, well, John, what are you overcoming? What are your specific recovery issues, they say? And I always say that I am only addicted to absolutely anything that will quickly change how I feel. Whatever that is. But what it was that brought me to my knees and into the rooms of recovery were drugs and alcohol. And by the grace of God, I haven't had to get drunk or get high for 14,101 days today. And that's a really long time. Oh, I appreciate all of you being here tonight. I don't have words for how desperately I love what God does at Serenity Church. And I would love to take all sorts of credit for that. But God can work around even the worst of us to do the best of His. I remember when my dad was the only pastor I had growing up, and I can remember people going out there, walking out the door, and he was shaking hands, and people would come up and say, oh, Brother Featherston, what a wonderful message that was. You just preached so powerfully today. My dad had a standard answer for that. He'd say, well, thank you so much, sister. I really appreciate those words of encouragement. And he would refer back in the Old Testament to the story of the prophet Balaam. And Balaam was told by God to prophesy, and Balaam didn't want to prophesy because he didn't like the people God wanted him to prophesy to. So God turned and prophesied out of Balaam's donkey's mouth. So my dad would always say, well, thank you so much, sister. I appreciate that. He said, but I figure if God can speak through Balaam's ass, he can probably speak through me. And isn't that the truth? What God can do around us and in spite of us, and do great good anyway. And I just want to say this to all of you who have walked this walk with me and allowed me to walk this walk with you. I always remember the words of Paul to a church he loved. He said, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I think about you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from that first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And Serenity Church, that is forever my prayer for you. Every time I think about you, I thank God that he allowed me to be a part of you. And what a gift you have been to me. People say, boy, put out a lot of effort to birth a church. The single most gloriously selfish thing I've ever done was to jump in and let God build this around us. I would love to say that I've really sacrificed for the cause of Christ over all this. Reminds me of another old preacher that I admired. He used to say, you know, I'm just forever giving everything to God. And I've got this shovel, and he wants me to shovel my time and my effort and my attention and my money and my stuff. And I look up, and God's shoveling back. And the only difference is God has a much bigger shovel.
Amen.
And that's exactly where I am with any tidbit I threw out this way. I looked up for the last 20 years, and God was overwhelming me with gifts from you. Thank you. Thank you for letting me be part of you, and I thank God all the time that he had this in mind. The fall of 1987 was the darkest, ugliest time in my life. Now, I had brought it upon myself, as we tend to do. I was a young preacher, really full of myself. And as a young man in my 20s, I was pastoring a church in New Braunfels, Texas, and Kay and I had bought this real cute little restored German cottage near downtown, and we had a porch swing in the front, and we were swinging on that porch swing. And I told her, I said, you know, honey, I've decided that if I'm going to give my life to preaching and ministering, I want to do it really big so that my voice will matter. I want my influence to carry. I want to make a difference. And so, with that in mind, I have made a list of the 10 largest churches of our denomination in the world. And I'm asking God to put me in the pulpit of one of those churches. Let me pastor one of those churches by the time I'm 40. Be careful what you ask for. God may just amuse himself and let you have it. I had just turned 31 when one of my dream brass ring churches called. Wanted me to come be their pastor. Boom. I have arrived. Great big church and a new cathedral they had just built on the interstate and 9 full-time pastors, and I was the dude in the big front office and the guy in the pulpit. I have arrived. And it very nearly killed me. I nearly died of that. God wasn't going to bless my need to be important. God was going to let me see the responsibilities that came with a mess like that. And it really, really ugly. Long story for another time. We're out of time tonight. There's a whole lot of delicious food, so I'll cut it shorter. This whole of my life, I was drowning. And I began to drink to calm it down at the end of the day, but that wasn't enough. So I began to find doctors to prescribe me things to make me feel better. And then I doctor shopped that one and another one. And when I ran out of doctors, I found folks who were not doctors. could also get me some stuff to help me cope until I nearly died. And God led me to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. They told me, they said, the first thing you've got to do is to sit in 90 of these meetings in the next 90 days. Heck with that. I'm not going to do anything a little bit. So I sat in at least 200 meetings in that first 90 days. I just camped out at the NA hall in my neighborhood. And one of the first things that hit me was a profound and bitter resentment. Because I was getting up every morning and putting on my expected sport coat and tie and khakis and Italian tassel loafers and pinpoint Oxford custom-made shirt to get in my Mercedes and go to church. And then every night I was going down on Arkansas Lane in a really sketchy part of town to an old electrical supply warehouse, and all meetings were smoking meetings back then, with a cloud of smoke when you walked in that you couldn't see who was talking across the circle. And an old warehouse full of drunks and junkies. And those people taught me who God is. I'm a preacher's kid. Born on Sunday and church the next Sunday. Thank you. My family sent me through 2 Christian universities and a seminary. And I experienced God for the first time. I went to church for the first time in an old electrical supply warehouse on Arkansas Lane. And then get up every morning and dress up and go do church. Those people in that warehouse loved me. When I didn't love me, they did. They loved me. They encouraged me. They held me up. They took my calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had a sponsor that would come open his door at 2 a.m. when I didn't think I was going to make it through the night, pounded till he came. And he sat down with me and saw me through that night. Those people knew all my garbage and completely accepted me anyway.
Amen.
They loved me in spite of me. And then I'd get dressed up every morning and go to the other side of town to a place where I knew for sure it was not safe to ask for any of those things. One night I came home from a meeting and I sat down on the couch with Kay, my wife, and I said, honey, if God will just pull me out of this pit I'm in, someday, I want to take everything that's going on in that old warehouse that is changing my world, showing me God, and saving my life. I want to take all of that and Jesus. And what I think he meant the church to be, and put it in a blender and pour it out. And I said, if God will let me do that someday, I think, since all recovery meetings open with the Serenity Prayer, I said, I think I'll call it Serenity Church so that my people will know it's for us. It was a lot of years later, but God finally lined up all the right pieces. I was pastoring a church in the colony. Previous to that, I spent years with a church in Decatur where God gave birth to the Overcomers Fellowship with 4 of us. 4 of us in my living room. And that became 10 and 12 and 30 and 40. Standing room only in the biggest room we could find at our church. And then God would take some of us and send them off to start a fellowship there and another one there and another one there. The Overcomers Fellowship that began in that living room is now on every continent, I guess except Antarctica. And we have been allowed to be part of birthing those fellowships in places I could not even imagine. God is good to take our broken pieces and do His best stuff. It became time in the colony. They had called and asked me to come pastor that church, and they said, we want that here. All that that's happening in Decatur, would you come and bring that here? And God did all of that there. And we finally had the critical mass of people that it would take to do what I knew God had told me to do all those years earlier. It was time to give birth to Serenity Church. God bless the elders of that church. I went to them and sat down with them and I said, I made a promise to God, and we now have the folks we need to do this. This is the vision. And they said, we're all in. 5 months of preparation and prayer. And how to describe that first night? How would you describe, Shay, that first night? And because I don't have the words tonight, I'm turning to a great philosopher, theologian, and best-selling author, and I'm going to let him tell you about that first night. Saturday, June 3rd, 2006, the night before Pentecost. It felt like my whole life had led up to this moment, a lifetime looking for freedom and the answers, and nearly 20 years of healing and dreaming, 5 months of frantic preparation. It all came down to this moment, Saturday night, June the 3rd, the night before Pentecost. Those of us that God had called and brought together to birth this baby had thought about little else these last few weeks. Had we done everything we could? Was there somebody else we should have talked to? Were all the details in place? We started showing up early. The band went through the music one more time. The welcome crew had the welcome bags filled and the t-shirts folded, all lined up and ready. At around 6 o'clock, we all gathered up in a circle and asked God one more time to please bless this new thing. Please, God, send your spirit tonight like you did that other Pentecost. Bring the people, the broken, the hurting, the lost, the discouraged. Please bring them here. Use us to dispense your hope and healing. Do again here tonight what you have done for all of us. Please give us this front row seat for you to do what you want to do. We were thrilled, we were anxious, we were hopeful, we were ready. Around 6:30, they began to come. First they trickled in, then they poured in. Motorcycles rumbled into the parking lot, the cars stacked up in the driveway. People who had always believed they didn't belong in a place like this walked through the door to see if it was true. You could see it in their eyes. Is this for real? Do I actually belong here? There was a roar of excitement as the room filled up. People who didn't know each other met. Old friends noisily reunited. Lots of hugging. Lots of laughing. At straight up 7 o'clock, the screens overhead lit up with a digital countdown. 5 minutes to go. The music thumped. The numbers flashing on the screen worked their way down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Serenity Church. Crowd roared. God began a whole new thing. None of us would ever be the same. Saturday night, June the 3rd, the night before Pentecost. To wind up, I could talk all night, but I won't, I promise. People have asked me through the years, Well, John, does Serenity Church have a mission statement? I say, yes, we do. And it's real easy to absorb. So listen, here is Serenity Church's mission statement. Brothers and sisters, Galatians 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's just not that complicated. Bear each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And that's what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do in the glorious movement he calls Serenity Church. But that what he's doing, what he will do, is really not my part of the puzzle. So I would like to defer to my pastoral colleague.
Thank you, John. I'm still not as eloquent as he is. I need something to put my paper on and look at y'all and all that. But I'm Shay, and I'm an overcomer. Yay! Come on. And thank you, John. Thank you first for trusting me. Trusting me with this. Thank you for mentoring me. Thank you for putting me under your wing and showing me how to do this. And taking me simple things like going on hospital visits. Teaching me how to do that. Teaching me how to pastor. Thank you. Thank you for believing in me when I didn't believe in myself. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and it reminds me how God takes our brokenness and he makes something really beautiful out of it. And I want you to think about this. If you have been in recovery for a while or you're just coming in, and this might be your first night here, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 30. Says, brothers and sisters, look at what you were when God called you. Not many of you were wise in the ways of the world, the way the world judges wisdom. Not many of you had great influence. Not many of you came from important families, but God. We could stop right there. But God. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And he chose the weak. Remember that. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose what the world thinks is unimportant. And what the world looks down on. And it thinks is nothing. In order to destroy what the world thinks is important. God did this so that no one can brag in his presence. Because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. In Christ, we are put right with God and have been made holy and have been set free of sin. So I ask you to think about where you were at. Many of us find our way to Serenity Church broken. Broken to pieces, shattered in some shape, form, or fashion. I've also often heard it said that this is the last house on the block. Like no other church would accept this. Y'all saw me. And And the other thing that it says in verse 27, that God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. See, this is a safe place. This church is a safe place. It's a safe place to take that mask off. It's a safe place to say what is going on in your life. It's a safe place to admit you're powerless. See, I did a little word search. And in verse 27, the word weak in the Greek, when Paul actually wrote that word, and this is Greek, and I don't speak Greek, I speak Texican. And so I had to write it. Anissa was over at the house, and I said, help me figure out how to say this. And it's osthenes. That's the Greek word that he used for the word weak. And I looked it up, and of course I Googled it. It literally means powerless. Literally means powerless. Frail or broken. So if you reread that scripture, it says God chose the powerless. He chose the broken to shame the things of the world. See, I had a conversation with a local pastor from a big church, and we were talking back and forth, and he was telling me about his church, and I was real interested in it because he seemed like he had a lot more experience with it than I did. And then he asked me to describe Serenity Church and what we're about, and I did. And I told him all about who we are and how we serve one another, and we come in and we pull that mask off and we just tell it like it is, and we're raw and we're real. And he looked straight at me, dead in my eyes, and said, I could never go to a church like that. I would never take my wife and kids to a church like that. And I was like, why? Why? And if you look on down, it says that the world looks down on the weak. The world looks down on the powerless. So he couldn't admit out loud that there's things going on in his life, especially at his church. I say this all the time, that it's the saddest thing, and these churches are all over the Metroplex, that there is people sitting in those pews on Sunday morning that have the exact same things going on you do, and they can't tell nobody. They can't tell a soul, because they'll be asked to leave. They'll be asked to stop serving in some way. They'll be asked to sit in the back. For many of us, this is the last house on the block. And I'm so glad it is. I'm so glad it is. Look at who you were when God called you to Serenity Church. Many of you are leaders now. And many of you are in the middle of your red-hot brokenness. Right now, it's going on. But I want to show you. There's a process. It's through these 12 steps. God restores you 100%. And you become leaders in this church. I want to tell you that God's got plans for you. See, I never dreamed that this is what I would be doing. This was not my plan. I was going to be a rock star, country music star, whatever. I was spending all my time and efforts in the music industry trying to play in the dive clubs and playing good places and going out on the road and losing marriages and getting high and getting drunk and everything else that goes along with it. And then God had a plan. When I surrendered, when I said, I'm powerless, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. And he introduced me to Serenity Church. He introduced me to recovery. It changed everything for me, but I had to surrender. And then, as I said, John took me under his wing and taught me these things. And then he said, one day I'm going to retire, and I almost fainted. He said, it will be yours to do. And I was like, no, not me. I don't know anything about this. And I had a lot of fear. And I know the Bible says do not fear, but I had it. And so how did I overcome a lot of these fears even as we speak right now? You. Encouragement. You guys are the most encouraging people I know. And that's because we know that we are powerless. And it's just what Pastor John said just a minute ago. We're here for one another. When one is down, we come over, we encourage that person and pick them up. Because I'll be down sometime and I'll need to pick you up, and you'll be down sometime and I'll need, vice versa. We work together. We work off one another. And that's how we survive this thing. And so it was time to build a new board, a new leadership. And so all these people, if you're on the recovery leadership team, would you please stand? Please stand up. Give these guys a hand. You look around the room. I was here when these guys walked in the room. They weren't leadership material. They weren't. They weren't. But God chose them because they're powerless. That's who He wants to choose. He wants to choose the people that the world looks down on. We started to recruit people just to serve. And if you serve Serenity Church, could you please stand in any way? If you serve Serenity Church, this room ought to just rise. Amen. Thank you, guys. I tell them all the time, you guys are the backbone. You're the backbone of this. This is what, you guys are what makes this happen. Next, it was, and we've gone through a whole bunch of worship leaders. Did I mention a bunch of worship leaders? We had one worship leader for 13 years, and when he decided to go elsewhere, it was a bunch of worship leaders. We had different people coming in every week and all this, and then Roger showed up. Amen. Roger showed up, and he has taken this over, and if you're on the worship team, could you please stand up? I'm telling you what it's like now. If you serve on this worship team, thank you. Thank you. Roger's taking this thing. We used to grab people from outside of our church all the time because we didn't think we had enough musicians in the room. Roger picks these people right out of here. And I don't know if you saw that one picture where Roger was down here on the floor. That was our people doing the worship. He was down here on the floor. Ooh. That's good stuff, man, because these people were broken. They didn't think they deserved to be up there. They didn't think they deserved. They didn't think they had it. I've talked to people before where they have been asked to step down off their worship, off the worship team of other churches because they told the truth about something going on in their life. I'm like, that's just taking another notch out of a dude. How is a person supposed to get better if he's not serving? That's part of a recovery. And then I heard Pastor Logan do a speaker meeting. I was blown away. I was like, wow, this guy's got something. Boy, let me tell you something. This guy was broken to pieces when he came in. I was telling Jocelyn, get the heck away from that guy. Don't. No. And he came back, and he says all the time himself, he said, there was people that came up to me and said, I've been praying for you, that he didn't even know. He said, I don't even know who you are. But he says that you said you was praying for me. So I heard him do that speaker meeting, and I was like, no, something's there. And I kept telling him for about 4 or 5 weeks, I think God's got plans for you. He'd go, what? And then I asked Jesslyn, Pastor Jesslyn, if you don't know, we do have a preaching team here. And we were looking for another lady to fill a spot. And I asked several different women to bring a message. And she did one night. And I went home. It was great. I went to bed. And I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning with a dream that your next recovery pastor is going to be Logan and his wife, Jesslyn. And I was like, well, what? That don't even make sense. Do they do the churches even? I Googled it. And it said, yeah, many churches are moving that direction right now. And I just tried to flush, I need to go back to sleep. But I couldn't. So about 6 a.m., I called them. I said, I've got to talk to you guys today. And I met them for lunch. And I said, I believe God is telling me that you two are our next pastors. And so now we have Pastor Jesslyn and Pastor Logan. And I'm telling you, I was here when these people came in broken. God uses the powerless to shame the strong. See, the world would look at that and said, there ain't no way. Just like the world would have looked at me and said, there ain't no way. But God's got plans for you. And if you're in the middle of that red hot hurt, that red hot burning, oh, it's just painful, man. You feel it in your gut. Brokenness. Get ready. Because if you can admit that out loud, say, I'm powerless, and Lord, I need you, and I surrender to you, He's got plans for you. He's got plans for you. You are the one He wants. You're the one He wants working for Him. See, they went and started another Overcomers over in McKinney. We got Overcomers. Pastor John mentioned that we have Overcomers all over the place. And right now, we have an Overcomers in McKinney at Life Fellowship. And those meetings are on Monday. We have a Tuesday meeting at Oak Grove Methodist Church in Decatur. We have a Tuesday meeting in Lingleville at Lingleville Baptist Church. And we have our meeting directly after the service, but not tonight. We're going to eat. And we have another meeting on Wednesday here at 7. I remember there was a time that there was only one Overcomers meeting. And I was going to AA and everything else just to keep my meetings going. But we're in a time now that a person that comes into recovery can do Overcomers. And some of you may be new here and don't really know what we're talking about when we say Overcomers. It's just like any other meeting, a recovery meeting, except for two things. Anybody's welcome. Everybody's got something out of their control they just can't will away. If you say you don't, that's what it is. Then, at any given moment, we can call on the name of Jesus because He is our higher power. That makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Now, I don't knock all these other groups, these recovery groups. They are necessary. But there's not another group in town that you can stop a meeting and pray for somebody. That we can quote Scripture and talk directly out of the Bible and claim that Jesus is our higher power. That's Overcomers. And if you're not being a part of that, you're missing out. So God moved us. We have been in 4 or 5, I can't remember how many places now, 5 different places. Oh, there's another meeting at DBU, too. My daughter just told me. I was like, they just started that. Just started a meeting at that college, too. But God moved us. We've moved 5 times throughout the years. This time, I really love this place. And I hear that we're going to move again, but that's okay. Because God moves His people where He wants them. and it's going to be fine. But we've been here in this building 10 months. 10 months. And we have baptized 33 peoples in those 10 months. 33. 34. We just got another one. That's right. 34. 34 people in 10 months. I've been part of churches that didn't baptize 5 people in 3 years. 33 people. Pretty cool. Dadgummit, I got 33 written down right here because I knew we was going to have one. 34. 17 in my pool at home that I did not want. Yeah. Awesome. So really, this has been a little bit longer service than we normally do. But we're here to celebrate. There was a lot to talk about. There was a lot to reminisce about. There was a lot to look at and reflect on. 20 years. But God's not done. Amen. By any means. He is not done with us yet. You know, COVID, during that time, a lot of people left church. And there was a lot of churches that just went under. Serenity Church survived that. And we're coming back strong. God is not done with us yet. And how do I know? Philippians 1, 3 through 6, it says, I thank God every time I remember you. Didn't you just read that? Something. You read from Philippians. I think John read from Philippians. And guess what? I thank God every time I remember you, always praying with joy for all of you. I thank God for the help you gave me while I preached the good news. Help you gave me from the first day you believed until now. God began doing a good work in you. See, he's writing to a church. He's praising the church for being the encouragers that they are. But God's doing a work in you. God began doing a good work in you, and I am sure He will continue it until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. See, I believe that God will continue to bless Serenity Church and take us places that we could never even imagine. I'm already there. Thank you, Serenity Church, for all you do. For the least of these. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this place. I thank you for a safe place when many people don't have it. Many people don't have a place that they can come in and just unload their burdens and not be judged, not be asked to leave, not be asked to sit in the back of the room. Lord, thank you for a place that just loves like you love. Lord, continue to bless Serenity Church. I believe you will. I know you hear our prayers. Lord, thank you for this meal we're about to eat. In your name we pray. Amen.
Come on, why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to sing one more song of worship all together.